Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
He is the most disrespected star in the NBA. And it's reared its ugly head once again. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, happy Friday to everybody. And we would love to see you out here. Come see us. We know it's raining, so it's a great day, Mike, to get out of the rain and come have a cocktail.
Man, traffic was insane. So get off of that 8-lane death strip that is I-75 and get over here, man, and get some cocktails flowing. We already got one of our dudes rolled in at the bar. And the new phrase, Carl, the phrase that pays.
What's that?
Getting trade. Yeah, not trade, T-R-A-D-E, but T-R-A-E-D.
As you're getting dissed?
Yeah, Trae Young. It's no longer getting snubbed. It's getting trade. That's what he put out there last night. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot. You know, the Braves, and we know this, the Hall of Fame when it comes to Braves or Falcons in Atlanta, the 7th largest city in America. But when you're not winning, you just don't get the juice. And I think if the Hawks are maybe, if they're at the top of the Eastern Conference, does Trae get this love? I don't get it. But talking about Trae getting snubbed for the All-Star team.
Yeah, man, listen, and part of my problem is you. I'm talking to you. You don't even support him. You don't even like him. You don't even support him. And yet you want to complain about, wow, this Atlanta thing, man. I don't know why everybody's always dissing us. I'm talking to you. The people who, like, responded to me, Mike, when I said this is a blanking shame, right. And Danny says they know it and they don't care. Do you care, Danny? Yeah. One guy said to me, Trae needs to stop with the spectacular plays. Are you serious right now? Have you watched him play
That's
this season?
Kind of what the NBA is all about. He's having the most balanced year of his career. He's leading the league in assists. Like, there were 4 basic spots out there because they have a couple left. There's 2 wildcats. They call it wild cards. 2 guards and then 3 basically forwards. And the coaches, I had a couple guys on Twitter asking me, like, is this all about Lloyd Pierce? Well, I didn't realize Lloyd Pierce was red or back. I mean, who's Lloyd Pierce to poison the well that badly about Trae? Lloyd Pierce is just bouncing around as an assistant, you know? Yes, I got it. I mean, Trae, I even called Trae a coach killer. And I think there were times, like a lot of guys in the NBA, he was immature. He's grown up. I was immature. Check me. I was 45. He's ahead of me by 20 years, Carl. But in the case of Trae, I just don't know what more you want to see of this dude other than the W's. And I don't think a 7-game losing streak, if this was the last, I mean, I don't know when exactly the coaches voted on this, but we are in the middle of a tailspin.
Yes.
But some of these events are way beyond Trae's control. Look, I don't particularly like LaMelo Ball, but LaMelo Ball got the juice from his music thing. He had the most votes, and he's not even on the All-Star team.
I know.
So the people voted. The people want to see him. NBA always says it's about the fans, and they basically said, nope, you're not going.
404-726-0929. It's egregious. This is complete disrespect. at its highest level. Trey leads the league in assists. Go back and look at every point guard in the league over the history of this league that has led the league in assists. They are an all-star. Mm. This guy isn't. And, Mike, here's the thing. I want you to hear Quinn Snyder. Big O, did we have that cut from Quinn last night? We talked. He was asked after the game about Trey not being selected for the all-star game. And, look, your coach is going to take up for you. But the other part of this is anybody who pays attention to the league, everything Quinn Snyder said about him not making it and why he was disappointed is true. It's not just about the assists. He's taking the right shots. He's making the right passes. He's making clutch shots when it matters. I mean, like, all those things should count. Let me hear Coach Quinn Snyder talk about this.
I'm extremely disappointed. It really, there's so many deserving players, and this has... feel very strongly about the players that did make it, that they're deserving. But that also doesn't preclude me from feeling the way I do about Trey. I feel like he's had, you know, I haven't coached him for that long, but I feel like he's had the best year of his career.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about, you know, the shot selection. Yeah, the three-point shot has not been consistent this year for Trey. He's even talked about it on social media and post-game interviews. But he's gotten everybody involved. He's finally had some guys he could get involved until they got injured. You know, and then we get into, you know, leading the league in assists, ahead of everybody, including Joker. We've talked about he's top 25 in scoring. Tyler Hero, with all due respect, I mean, I don't understand where this comes from. You know, unless there really is a bias. Now, there's an article that came out in USA Today, and I put a link up which talked about, didn't talk about the coaches, but this was the players. And it was Brian Kilbrowski wrote the article. He basically looked at all the numbers. Look at the numbers.
Sure.
And he basically said that Trae Young, he gets stronger voting from the players than the media component.
I believe that.
Trae would have come in at number 5 in the voting from the players.
I believe that.
Who, again, his peers. So who better than those guys? We can debate the fans and, you know, whatever. Maybe if Trae starts his own hip-hop thing. I don't know. But anyway, stronger voting from the players than the fans as well. Players loving Trey more than the fans, more than the media. Trey would have come in 7th when you do the composite on that. So either way, he's top 10. So he's on the team. He's on the Eastern Conference squad.
He's on the team.
But then you get into the coaches, and adios. It gets no love.
Yeah. And again, you know, the crazy thing is, Atlanta, we needed a superstar. We ain't got no stars. We ain't got no stars. Then you get a guy who comes in, and in not only getting national recognition, getting international recognition for what he's been able to accomplish, and yet you still complain. You should be on board, and you should be banging the drum right. As a fan base. Yeah, I'm chastising you today because it starts with us. I always say this. Like, nobody's going to love our guys until we love our guys. And we always seem to be, like, hesitant. And I don't know what it is. I've heard all kinds of things about Trae Young over the years since he's been here. Well, I don't like his hair. Get over it. What do you want him to do? He's come in and played his butt off. Now, I will say this. It is not Trae Young's fault that this organization, Mike, had dysfunction for 3 years and was set back 3 years because they thought they could run it back in 21 after going where they did in 21 in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then you fire the general manager because you didn't like his plan. Right. And then we had some dysfunction. That is not on Trae. And so during that time, guess what? We were irrelevant. We weren't a team that people looked to in the NBA and said, man, perennial playoff team, we're fighting for our lives in the play-in every year. That's not on Trae. Trae just happened to be here while management was trying to figure this thing out. 404-726-0929. You guys tell us, man. I'm so frustrated with this simply because he is well-deserving of an opportunity. And, Mike, we said this. Jalen Johnson should be there, too. Now, we know he's injured.
Right.
But I've been saying all year, Jalen Johnson was playing like an all-star. The problem is he doesn't have the brand recognition.
No, he's not there yet. As this gets back to the old conversation we've had a million times, if you put Jalen Johnson on the Lakers, if he's getting exposure with LeBron, put him in Boston, put him in New York, Chicago, he might be that guy. But here in Atlanta, we're not getting a lot of love. We're not getting a lot of national games because we're just not that brand right now. So we're stuck. We're in a tough situation. We're kind of looking like, you know, it's going to be the play-in game again. You and I have debated it, and this is also not on Trey's fault that the ownership group has really not given him the pieces. You know, they've been hesitant to get in, spend money. Now, this is a year where I don't think you can fault them because with all the injuries we've been dealing with, maybe it's time to – here's another thing. If you're going to trade Bogey and try to acquire some pieces, what is that going to mean as far as – how quickly do we get rolling? You really hope that Reece Sauchet advances 30 points last night. Great
job. Big game.
But, you know, if the core, though, DeAndre, Reece Sauchet, and a healthy Jalen with Trey, That's something to be excited about. But it hasn't translated. Not this year.
No, it hasn't, Mike. And Mr. Smoke Some, maybe he needs to smoke some. Says can't blame the fans. Look at LaMelo Ball. What has LaMelo Ball won? Somebody tell me what he's won.
It's a pop culture phenomenon.
That's all that is. He's not won jack. So when you say can't blame the fans, you got to understand that goes beyond the fan base of Charlotte.
Right. He's gone nationwide with the music.
That's beyond Charlotte. If it was just about that, then it would be different.
His
brother with the hit. So he says, so try that again. No, I'm putting it on you. I'm putting it on us. This is part of it.
And LaMelo Ball's team is worse than us.
It is.
Charlotte's dead in the water.
But we've hated on him so much so that that has translated to him not becoming an all-star, ultimately, not based on his merit, but based on the perception of whatever you think he is. That is what has happened with Trae Young. And that is why Trae said he got, what is it called? Trade. That's why I said that.
That's Trae. Trae put it up there on his social media. And he's one of the stars in the league. The Knicks moment, that was, as we said, that was a coming out party for Trae. National moment. People now, oh, wow, here's the next new big thing in the league.
Yep.
You know, maybe the Hawks are going to have their own version of Steph Curry, which maybe wasn't fair. You know, and I get it. Trae doesn't play great defense, but I mean, that's what's keeping it. The All-Star game? Really? That's going to be the litmus test?
By the way, neither does LaMelo Ball.
Right.
He doesn't play defense. I mean, this is what I'm saying. Like, really? Right. These are the arguments we're hearing?
It's not like Halliburton is the glove. You know what I mean? It's like, yes, I get it. There's more defense being played in Indiana. We saw that last night, but you'll see that coming up.
Well, Mike, you get what I'm saying here. Yeah. And listen, I know people are like, man, you know, it's not my fault. I'm not saying you didn't do your part. But right. When you talk bad about our star, it doesn't help. And when he has a great season, it doesn't help the cause of expanding the scope of Atlanta sports nationwide. I'll give you another example. When Ronald Acuna got here, okay? Mm-hmm. And there were people in the club.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes. You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy 5 and get 5 free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
About apparently who necessarily didn't agree with some of the things that he was doing.
Well, you can't put the sunglasses in front of the A, Carl.
Yeah. And guess what? People were like, I don't like his showmanship. Right. Ronald Acuna, he's an MVP. We said this before he got the MVP. Get on board. And you're going to say, well, I don't remember that. Of course you don't remember that. But people were talking bad about Acuna because, oh, he's got the big gold chains on and he runs the bases a certain way. Yeah. Get behind our guys, man. That's what I'm saying.
But, I mean, when you get to this, this is on the national level, and I understand what you're saying. It's just the only thing that's ever going to turn this around is Trae and the Hawks getting back to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's what it feels like.
Winning does help.
I mean, you're going to have to. I mean, look.
But how much of that do you put on him?
You can't argue. Like, my beef was that a guy just hit me up on the text. And he goes, well, you were trying to run. No, see, this is where the disconnect comes. Asking for leadership from your star is not running a guy out of town. Just because you don't know what leadership is and you're a quiet quitter in your personal life, perhaps that translates to how you view sports. I'm talking about a guy showing leadership. Trey has done more than that. And this year, it's leaps and bounds. He is a leader on this team. You see it with Reese Hoshea in the offseason, the little things. We talked about accountability. He brings it, you know? And that's something that is acquired because sometimes it comes with maturity.
It is. All right. We want to hear from you guys. Hawks lose last night. Listen, we told you how tough the schedule was going to be. We told you. And then the Jalen Johnson news dropped, and you were like, oh, crap. Okay. Well, what about Indiana tomorrow? What about them? Indiana has had our number the last two seasons.
They're basically a better version of us. They're a taller, more athletic version of us that plays a little bit of defense. Okay, because over the years we joked around, we didn't play defense.
That's right.
To paraphrase Nate.
That's right.
We didn't play defense.
If you look to me, that's what I when I think of Indiana. I think that's like what we should aspire to be.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, with the talent we've got.
Remember, though, they went out and got Siakam.
Yes.
And everybody
wanted. And we tried. Siakam, they want to come to Atlanta.
And when they did that.
Whose fault was that? It
took them to another level.
Right.
All right. We want to hear from you guys. 404-726-0929.
What did Atlanta do to Siakam?
This is my point. This is my point. Like, we are a destination. And people are like, no, it's not. Yes, we are. We are a great sports city.
Siakam had his side piece in Atlanta. I know the stories. Here they come.
Great sports town. All the stuff that we argue about. And it's frustrating to me that, like, a guy is doing what Trey is doing. He's had three 20-point, 20-assist games this season. No one has done that in the NBA. That alone should have gotten him an all-star bid. We're live at Twin Peaks. We're coming back. BMAC, Brian McFadden will join us. We're going to talk Super Bowl and his thoughts on what's going on around the NFL with the coaching hires and more. Stay right there. We were discussing Trae Young getting dissed and not being selected for the All-Star game. It's Dukes and Bell. This hour brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. Padley, P-A-D-L-Y, buys.com. And Gordon, who is engineering for us today,
G-Money,
brought up an interesting point about these national games, Mike, and expanded on it even more. And then Turtle, who's here with us, Chris, said, you know, our game against San Antonio next Wednesday is a nationally televised game. I think it's ESPN,
right?
They have the contract. And then he says, and then that's it for the year. And why that matters, guys, is because you, not us, but the country is not seeing this greatness of Trey consistently enough on these national games.
You got to build your brand nationally. And that's why we said, 2021, and then we went from, you know, Trey looking like he is the next Steph Curry, we are the new news, to like, boop, you know, and it just disappeared. So you got to have the sustainability of winning. And you said, things beyond his control. The roster got turned over. No, the coaching staff, things went down. And then, you know, we just need more players. Now, this year we've got some guys. Now they can't stay healthy.
They can't stay healthy. All right, more on this coming up. We got a lot to get to this afternoon. We're live at Twin Peaks, guys. The Daily Download is on the way. But let's talk to our man, Brian McFadden. All things covered is the podcast. And, of course, he's an analyst for CBS as we get ready for Super Bowl 59. And BMAC, you know, you said last week, maybe the last 2 weeks, I don't bet against Patrick Mahomes. And I know you didn't. And he finds another way to get back to this moment where now they're chasing history for a chance at a three-peat. And I want to just start there with Andy Reid and Mahomes and the Chiefs. Man, it just feels like it doesn't matter what obstacles in their way. They find a way to get it done, and they just know how to win big games.
Yeah, I mean, you have to learn how to win so you don't learn how to lose. And that's what they've built there in Kansas City. And think about this, guys. We're talking about Kansas City, you know, in the Super Bowl again. But this is a team. They've been without their wide receiver one and Rashee Rice since early in the year. Isaiah Pacheco was missing time. I mean, Chris Jones missed time. But they still found ways to win. So this is a team that they just know how to win ball games, and they know how to make sure you beat them. Because another thing about Kansas City, when you watch them in terms of turnovers, in terms of penalties, they do not beat themselves at all. So if you're going to beat them, you really got to beat them.
We were talking about this with Chuck Smith last Friday, Bryant, and that is the fact that how good this young defense is, all the Georgia Bulldogs everybody knows about, but they had like the best in sacks. They're number one in sacks 2 years ago. Even though the sack numbers are down a little bit, could you argue that this team is better interpreted to keep Mahomes somehow between the hash marks and really pushing up the middle and really giving, you know, giving some trouble to that Kansas City O-line?
I won't say that. I'll say the front, and this is just my personal opinion. I think the defensive front that we saw from Philly 2 years ago was a better defensive line unit because, to your point, they had more sacks. I think they had 60-plus sacks. I think they led the National Football League in sacks that year. And you look at some of the outstanding defenders, you know, Josh Sweat was on that defensive front along with Graham.
Ndamukong Suh.
Fletcher Cox was on that line. So you look at what Jalen Carter has done, you know, has been outstanding. He's the best guy. He's the lead singer for their group on the defensive front. But look at what Nolan Smith has done as well. He's really been playing some of his best football. But I think that defensive front, anytime, guys, you have a team that gets 60-plus sacks in a season, you remember them. Now, I'll say this. Now, the caveat to that front 2 years ago being better than the front they currently have, I think the secondary is better now, in my opinion. When you look at Darius Slay, who was a part of that team 2 years ago, when you look at Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, you know, you look at C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who was a part of that team as well, but he's a more experienced player. Reed Blankenship has really done a lot. You know, he's really outkicked his coverage. I think the secondary is better, but I would side with the front from the Eagles 2 years ago when you look at the better unit compared to what they have now.
B-Mac, before we get into some of these coaching hires and some of the other news around the NFL, as you're talking about defense, Eagles defense, in your opinion, better than the Chiefs defense right now?
That's a great question. I'll side with Kansas City, right? And here's why. If I'm going to compare the two, I also have to compare the defensive coordinators. Now, Vic Fangio is a guy who I highly respect. He's been around the game for quite some time, highly experienced. But Steve Spagnuolo is the best there is. Steve Spagnuolo will go into the Hall of Fame as a coordinator. So when you factor in his experience in these type of ball games, that's a plus. His ability to really dial up great defensive fronts, defensive schemes against some of the best offenses that we've seen has been well documented. And the experience that he has in coaching the guys he's currently coaching. Now, granted, there are a few faces here and there, but the majority of their foundational pieces he's been with for quite some time. They've won championships. So I'll side with Kansas City when you factor in the defensive coordinator as well.
It is our man, Bryant McFadden, guys, two-time Super Bowl winner as we're getting ready for the Super Bowl. What do you remember about your Super Bowls with the Steelers, man? How different were they? Was it once you did it, were you obviously ready for the next one?
Listen, the first one, I was like a deer in headlights. Honestly, guys, because our first Super Bowl was my rookie year. So I literally thought you go to the Super Bowl every year. I didn't know how hard it was to get to the Super Bowl because I went my rookie year. And then when I started talking to other guys throughout the National Football League and they were just applauding and congratulating me, like, man, you went to the Super Bowl. Man, I've been in the league 10 years, 12 years, haven't even been to a conference championship game. I'm like, oh, so this is a big deal. Now, the second Super Bowl for me, because I played in three, the second Super Bowl, I knew how to navigate. You know, I knew how to handle the ticket request. I knew how to handle the family accommodations. But one story I'll share with our second Super Bowl. Now, you guys remember, that was against the Arizona Cardinals. That was the James Harrison pick six, the Santonio Holmes game-winning catch. We were big-time favorites going into that ball game, which I was not aware of at the time because I had no idea about the point spread. But that night of Saturday night, guys, one thing we always did as a team in Pittsburgh, like we fraternized together. We hung out together. We were a legit family. So every game, night before game, we would play Blu-ray. That's a card game, right? We would play Blu-ray, and we would do it long throughout the night. So that game, remember, Super Bowl is played on 6:30 Eastern time, right? This game was in Tampa. So we changed hotels on Saturday to kind of get away from the media and the fans. We had our own private secluded hotel. We had our team meeting, and we were like, okay, y'all know what time it is. It's time to go play some cards. It's time to go get it cracking. Right, so we literally got into James Ferrier room around 9:45. We started playing cards. I kid you not, guys. I didn't get to my room to go to sleep until 8:30 a.m.
What?
We stayed up all night playing cards.
You gotta literally be kidding me.
I'm not, and get this. I was not the only one that got into the room around 8:30. We had probably about 18 guys. Because in that card game blue Blu-ray, the max number you can play with is 6. So we just had guys in there just watching because the intensity was so high. Now, we were playing cards, but, you know, there was a few extra incentives involved. And when I tell you, it was intense. And when I got back to my room at 8:30, I took a shower, and I said, Mac, it's 8:30. I got to go play a Super Bowl in a few hours. I got to be the dumbest person in the world. And I remember James Ferrier told all of us when we finally decided to end the game. This was around, like, 8:18. He was like, hey, man, whatever y'all do, do not let this get out that we was up all night playing cards. He said, whatever y'all do, keep this to yourself. So then get this. So it's 8:30. I take a shower. Mind you, I didn't even get breakfast. So now I got to the stadium because I used to ride either the first bus or the second bus to the stadium. Mm. I walk into the stadium. It's probably like almost 4 o'clock. You can tell everyone who was in the room all night playing cards because eyes were bloodshot red. And I'm looking around like a zombie. I'm like, bruh. This is Super Bowl, man. We stayed up all night playing cards, not thinking anything about the most important game of our life at that time, which was the Super Bowl against Arizona.
Crazy.
B-Mac, hey, we like the Rolling Stones, man.
I, no doubt.
Yeah.
I like how you just mentioned I played in 3. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And I'm guessing they stayed up till 8:30 in the morning when they played the Packers a couple years later, too.
Hey, no, we didn't stay up as long. That's the problem. That's why we lost that ball game, because I remember James was like, hey, man, we can't have the same thing happen against Tampa, so we're going to go to sleep early. So we probably got in the room probably about 3:30-ish. We didn't stay up to 8:30. That's why we lost.
Interesting. Well, you know what? That's a great story, and that's another reason why we love talking with you. As far as the coaching hires, man, I think the worst one, and look, it's changed for me. I thought the Leon Cohen thing was a mess.
Right.
But this Brian Schottenheimer thing is ridiculous. It's ridiculous, B.
Hey, man, Jerry said he knows how to identify head coaches, and he trusts his judgment. That's one thing I like about Jerry Jones, right? A lot of the things he says and he does is confusing, but he trusts his own judgment, and he's going to do what he thinks is best. So he's never looking over his shoulder, because if it doesn't work out, guess what? He has no individual to blame but himself. But to your point, Brian Schottenheimer, and this is the thing I understand about some media folks. Why y'all keep emphasizing he was the offensive coordinator? He didn't call plays.
Right.
Mike McCarthy called the plays. This man hasn't called plays since, what, 5-plus years ago when he was in Seattle, however long ago that was, 2018, 2019. That's the last time he called plays. He wasn't going to call no plays for Dak Prescott. They talking about, well, he was hands-on, he was the OC. That is just a title that Jerry gave him. Mike McCarthy, right, when he fired Kellen Moore, we all knew he was going to take over play calling. Brian Schottenheimer became the head coach for Dallas Cowboys because Jerry Jones needed a puppet. He needed a guy that he can be basically the ventriloquist, where he can pull the strings and make him say whatever it is he needs to say. And Brian Schottenheimer is willing to do that because he had no other opportunity to be a head coach in any other organization that had a vacancy. So this is what Jerry is doing. You're going to be the coach, Heidel, but I'm going to be the one making the moves and telling you to do what I need to be done. So that's why Brian Schottenheimer is the guy.
Right. I mean, and he's right there in your building. They even called Steve Spurrier to ask him, how good a quarterback was he in college? Hey, real quick, we got about 30 seconds, B. You know guys who played for Pete Carroll? They love playing for Pete Carroll. You think it's going to work being this old, going back to the game with the Raiders?
I think so, because Pete Carroll's 73. What, Bill Belichick is 76 with a 24-year-old girlfriend. So clearly, you know, the 70s is the new 60s nowadays, right or wrong, right?
Right. Well, Pete's
what
a youthful 73.
Bill Belichick take him?
Right, right.
Yeah, I don't know what Bill Belichick got going on, but hats to him. But, yeah, the 70s is the new 60s right now. And the thing I love about Pete Carroll, guy, he's a high-energy guy that has a lot of respect. Has a lot of respect. Now, he only signed a 3-year deal. Then, to your point, how long will he want to coach to be able to turn the program around? But when you look at what's available, I would much rather have Pete Carroll as my head coach than Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. B-Mac, man, appreciate you. Look forward to our visit next week. We'll break down the Super Bowl, dive in a little bit deeper, guys, into the teams, the schemes, and what we think is going to play out. B-Mac, man, have a great weekend. Appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Now, for the record, Pete is 73. He'll be 74 next fall. Bill is 72. He'll be 73 in April. So Pete's a little bit older.
Who quits first?
I'm going to say Belichick
in
North Carolina.
Me too. I feel that way.
I think Pete in Vegas is going to be a lot of fun.
I'm with you, man. Yeah. Hey, coming up, he speaks about not being selected to the All-Star game. You'll hear it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live at Twin Peaks, Kennesaw location. We see it's a little wet out there. Come on, man. Stop in. Have a brew. Enjoy. And hang out with your boys. We're going to be here until 7. Mike just mentioned this to me because we've been spending a lot of time, and rightfully so, on Trae Young. And, Rick, I appreciate you hitting me up. My buddy Rick says, man, you're banging the drum for Trae when appropriate. Listen, we've been critical of him. There's no show that's been more critical of Trae when needed.
When it's been warranted.
When it's warranted. Yeah. But that's also when he needs the backing, man, and you've seen what he's been able to do, it's just not right for them to treat our star
you
this
know,
way.
But then, again, we said that about Matt Ryan, you know, the quarterback. When you're like the point guard on a basketball team, you are the quarterback. So we gave Ryan heat at times. I think we gave him praise. I think I know how the city has treated both Trae and Matt, to your point. Sometimes not giving them the respect they deserve. Nationally, we just know in Atlanta, we just get kicked in the nuts. You know, they treat the Braves like roll a bunch of goobers down here because we do the tomahawk chop. Kansas City, by the way, gets a pass. I'll never understand that. And I don't hear any football writers going, I won't even say the word Chiefs, like the way some guys do with the Braves.
Yeah.
But it's just there's just a strange bias against Atlanta, which we've felt. By the way, real quick, little factoid. Kevin Schoenhardt put this out on Twitter. Today, 10 years ago, Hawks beat the Sixers to finish the month of January 17-0. That 60-win team that literally nobody can remember who the five starters were.
Yeah. Kyle Korver's in the front office now as the assistant general manager.
Right. Damari Carroll is the one that no one can remember. Paul Millsap.
That's true.
But Al Horford.
You know what? And that month kind of – that was their coming out party because the rest of the NBA was like, yeah, Hawks are pretty good. They play, you know, together, and then they don't lose a game in January. And everybody's like, oh, what is this?
Joe Johnson.
Yeah. So, man, listen, I wish we could go on a 17-0, you know, kind of run. It's not going to happen because this team is not constructed. And with the injuries that have happened, tonight they are off. They will play at Indiana tomorrow. And we'll let you hear what Trae Young said about not being selected as an All-Star.
Joe was with the Nets. He was gone. Joe was not on 15.
No, yeah. Joe was gone.
Yeah.
It was a bunch of guys.
Paul Millsap. Yeah, I mentioned Millsap.
Yeah, those are the two stars, Millsap and Horford. Those are the two guys. And everybody else was, you know, role guys.
Yeah.
So, point guard was
Jeff Teague. That's the one I couldn't thank you. That's Jeff the one Teague. I couldn't remember, Orin. Jeff Teague.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jeff Teague.
Yeah, Damari Carroll was the junkyard dog. Well, Damari Carroll was kind of like the glue guy on that squad, doing the dirty work. Then he got the free agent deal with Toronto.
And by the way, Jeff Teague does a great podcast, right? But I was always upset with Jeff Teague because, man, he had so many skills. But you'd have to get him pissed off to play.
Yes, you'd really have to light a fire under him.
Yes, and I used to talk about that, Mike. Like when there were days and times where, like, he got hot, he would give you 25 in a heartbeat. But then there were nights he'd come out lackluster, and like, I'm just here, and I'm like, dude, he had handles. He was nice.
You know, Damari Carroll. You think about it, he's kind of like how Solomon Hill was on that 2021 team.
Yeah,
they went to the Eastern Conference Finals. Kind of dirty work guy. Damari was actually, you could argue, more talented. 60-22 that year.
Crazy.
First seed.
And then we get swept by LeBron.
Yes.
In the Eastern Conference Finals.
Correct.
It wasn't even close.
And next year we get beat in the divisional second round.
Now tell me real quick. Now we're reminiscing. We're looking back. Wasn't that the dirty play?
Yes, that was Dellavedova. He's grabbing the leg on Al Horford.
Dellavedova.
And then Al Horford gets kicked out of the game.
Dellavedova.
That little Australian creep.
Should have punched him in the face.
Yeah, I'll spend a night in jail to punch that guy in the
face.
That was it.
Game one, wasn't it?
Right. Of course, our good buddy off the bench, Perro Antich.
He was a cool dude, man. Perro came back.
Dabo Sefolosha.
Dabo. Those guys, man. Dabo got into it in the
NYPD, jacked up his leg.
In the club. They broke his leg.
Yeah, outside the bar.
Man, you're taking me back.
Man.
So that playoff series, too, it wasn't just Thabo. Remember, Damari Carroll gets a knee bruise game one of that series, plays the rest of the series, but he wasn't the same. So LeBron didn't have
Thabo. Yeah, because he was going to lock LeBron down.
Neither one of those guys could play well against LeBron in that series.
He was going to shut LeBron down.
Yeah, we really didn't get much from Mike.
A little bit over exaggeration.
couldn't get much from Mike Muscala. Of course, Dennis Schroeder.
Muscala would hit a couple of threes.
Schroeder with his umlauts. Remember real quick, G-Money, because we used to laugh all the time. We'd see Dennis Schroeder because he'd always come to whatever became – only old bars is not there anymore, Colony Square. But Schroeder had that gold wrap on his Audi R8.
With the balcony up there.
Yes. Yeah, Twist. Shout. It was Shout.
Yes.
Twist was in Buckhead. Shout was in Midtown. But I swear, Dennis Shooter had that gold wrap on the Audi R8. Like, what are you doing to that car, man? It's like it was like Goldfinger.
Shout. It, well, what's there now?
Now it's
five.
It's Five Church from
right.
from Charleston.
Yeah, because we used to go down there all the time.
Right.
You're right. That was a spot. Wow. All right, man. And anything else we want to reminisce on?
Five Church has got a nice rooftop bar.
Why are we bringing back all these good memories?
Shout, but Shout. We had the Halloween party at Shout. That was a good time, man.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
So, you young whippersnappers don't know what you was missing.
So 10 years ago, that was 10 years.
Right.
We went 17-0 and finished the season with 60-plus wins.
Right.
Wow. All
I right. know, man.
Crazy, Coach, right? Coach Mike Budenhoser, by the way.
Right.
Coach of the year.
You and I, that was a good spring for us. You and I went to Michigan and played golf for like a week.
That was a great trip.
Michigan Tourism had like flights going to Traverse City from Hartsfield. We got to play golf all week.
That was a great trip.
And drink a lot.
And the golf courses were nice. All right, man. Hope you're having a great day. This hour is brought to you by Padley. See,
it was a good spring. Right, think about it. 15 was a good spring.
Yeah, man. It was fun. Sell your home for cash fast. Padley, P-A-D-L-Y, buys.com. Big O's back at the studio. He is, of course, our engineer. And Turtle's here with us, guys. Big shout out as well to him as our executive producer. Coming up, we got some NFL news to get to, including how the Cowboys came to the conclusion that they got the right guy in Brian Schottenheimer. You do not want to miss this story. Right now, though, let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
Well, as Ron Burgundy would say, that escalated quickly. Last night, literally, if you turn the game on and they were in Cleveland, we're talking about our Hawks, it was like, hey, okay, well, this is not good. Final score was 137-115, but Mike, at one point they led by 20. It was like, man, we couldn't get on a run to save our lives to cut into the lead. But Rashai Shea showed up last night. He had 30 points. I want you to hear one of his buckets in the fourth quarter.
Going to bring it up to Zach Rizashay, who comes across. 9 seconds to go. Zach out there, dribbles right. Zach into the lane, puts up a left-hander, and it's good. Zach Rizashay, a 30-point game. 137-115.
Now, he's growing, man. I mean, look.
No, and he's going to get more minutes.
Yes.
That's the one positive, is he's going to get all the time. So let's get him as much reps as possible. But I think we debated Alexander Saar or him. I mean, Saar looks like developing at a slower pace with his minutes, but the Wizards are a mess. But I do like what we're getting from Rashai.
I do, too. I think he's more versatile than Saar, man. I think they got the right guy. Trae Young, after the game, though, was asked about not being selected for the All-Star game. All-Star teams came out last night, or the reserves.
Right.
We thought he would be one of those guys. He was not selected. Here's what he said.
I mean, top 24 players, best players in the league, supposed to go there. And they're not getting the top 24 best players. They're missing one. So I was an all-star before tonight. I'm going to be an all-star the rest of my life. So regardless if I'm an all-star in the day.
Yeah, y'all can kiss my butt. That's what he was saying.
Yeah, two times now he's been to the all-star game. One time because Alton, and one time, you know, we had the one. Remember they sort of jerry-rigged it to come to Atlanta the COVID years. Just can't catch a break, man. Can't get the respect. DeAndre Hunter was 25 off the bench last night. He's been great. So that was another solid night. You mentioned Rashai Shea with 30. By the way, Bogey, we talked about him coming through, you know, had some injuries, had some, you know, let's be honest, Carl, had some sluggish nights shooting. He didn't make the trip, and we were thinking, okay, are they going to trade Bogey? What's the circumstance on that? A number of teams are rumored to be interested in Bogey. The Heat, the Nuggets, the Lakers, the Suns.
What are we getting in return?
Don't know.
Tyrese Maxey?
Hey, I'll take Jimmy
Butler. Tyler Hero?
All right, here we go. Right now. How about we trade Bogey and all our first-round picks for the next 20 years for Jimmy Butler? Yes, I'd do that, but that's not going to work.
All right. Look, I think
Pelicans interested. Lakers are interested. Apparently Nuggets may be interested as well.
What are we getting from the Pelicans? DeJounte Murray?
Second-round picks, nothing.
I'm just saying.
You know? I mean, nothing.
Zion?
Hell, man. What trade him to John Collins?
Isn't
Utah?
It funny how nobody's talking about Zion at all? What's up, Chris?
Apparently, we're hot and heavy on Brandon Ingram.
I like that.
I like Brandon
Ingram. But I like that before the season.
Yes.
I wanted to add him before the season.
We had this conversation back in – you know what? Now I'm getting even angrier.
But they're not going to pay him, and that's why
he's
expendable.
They're just going to get him off the books. You're not going to rent him. You want to keep him here. Look, the guy – I know he's built like a pipe cleaner, but that guy fits a lot of needs for this team.
Dude, he can score.
Yes, he can.
He gives you buckets. And
I remember seeing him when he was with Duke – at Alexander, well, at McCamish.
He's the one guy, believe it or not, LeBron has said that he wishes they would not have moved on from when the Lakers started to retool.
Is he big, too banged up, though, for you?
Well, he's
he misses a lot of games.
He does, but I also think he's trying to work his way out of there. I really believe that. That I like that. And I only say that moving forward, Ingram, Jalen, Dyson, like, now you're doing something. We'll see. Trade deadline is February 6th. Let's get to story two, Big O.
Story number two.
Mike, do you think they're the villain? Because Travis Kelce does. He thinks Kansas City has now become the villain heading into this Super Bowl. Here's what he had to say about it.
I love it. At one point in time, you know, it wasn't that. And,
yeah, you were the cinder. You guys were the darling of the NFL.
Yeah, I was the do you feel bad for him guys. And
you're now the heel.
I'm enjoying doing this with the guys together, the guys that we have in there, because it's like it just makes us even more of a family.
Kelce's podcast, right, with his brother talking about it. Do you feel that way? You think they're the heel going into this game?
Well, I mean, there's anti-Chiefs sentiment because people are getting tired of them. I'm still not as tired of them as I was of the Patriots, and I said it earlier. I mean, I hate Philadelphia. I don't like those fans. They're animals. So I'm going to roll, even though they got some Bulldogs, the Philadelphia Beagles. I'm still rolling with the Chiefs, man. I just think I'm not there yet. Maybe next year I'll be over the Chiefs, but I just think we got to appreciate the excellence. Mahomes doesn't make the mistakes. You know, how did Brady win all those Super Bowls? How they beat us? We couldn't hold our water, and the Patriots came back. They've been down in every Super Bowl they played in. They always find a way, save for the time they play Brady.
Yep.
So I don't hate those guys, man. I still like the commercials. Andy Reid drawing mustaches on players' faces on an airplane. That makes me chuckle.
It does.
Hey, let's do that again using your nuggies.
Hey, Georgia had a few players at the Senior Bowl, one of them Trevor Etienne. Let's get to story number three.
Story number three.
Mike, we talked about the edge rushers the last couple of days. A bunch of those guys popped. We'll keep an eye out, guys. They still have pro days and all this stuff. Combine's coming up. A lot more information to learn. But Trevor Etienne did address the decision to leave Georgia because, remember, he said he was coming back.
They never used him enough. The first game he was suspended for the driving issue, so he didn't play against Clemson. Not that they needed him. And then, unfortunately, do you feel it was not a commitment from Bobo, or Bobo couldn't commit to the run because the running game wasn't that great with that offensive line? And those guys who just moved on to the next level? I don't know. To me, Etienne was a great big, not his fault, but a great big nothing based on what we were expecting.
It was not a splash. It wasn't. Coming from Florida, we said, oh, man, he's going to be special with this line.
And remember all the stuff, all the bravado, I'm coming to Georgia because I'm going to win natties, I'm going to win the SEC. And, you know, yeah, we won the SEC, but I just felt like they never maximized his skill set.
The one game, ironically, and I hate to talk about it, that I thought they used him the right way was the Texas game.
Right.
It's the one game where I felt like they needed his legs, they needed him to make plays, they were consistent in going to him. But to your point, again, I'd love to have that conversation with Mike Bobo, who's still at Georgia, and ask him, what was holding you back from running the ball the way we expected or the way that Georgia normally does?
Well, I can tell you this time. If there's one time they needed to run the football.
Bobo's still there, right?
Yes, he's still there. Yes. yes, he's still there. Somebody had some reliable sources that were apparently wrong. As far as running the football, less than a minute to go in the first half against Notre Dame. That's been a good time for an ETN draw play.
Oh, I agree. Sit on it.
That's where they lost that game. I still think, look, Notre Dame is a good quality team, and they're physical, and they earned it, but I think Georgia helped them by making some really dumb decisions. Of course, Carl, anytime you give up a touchdown on special teams, that's all she wrote. That was literally a 17-point turnaround. The field goal, the score, and the score to start the second half.
Coming up, guys, we are going to talk about the D-line and how UGA is beginning to reshape their D-line. We're going to talk about that at 4 o'clock as part of our dog report. Also, in the 4 o'clock hour, Michael Money Harris, our center fielder for our Atlanta Braves, is going to stop by the show, guys, and we're going to chop it up with Money. He's getting ready for spring training. I think he's going to have a great year. He's healthy. Knock wood, everything looks good, Mike. I mean, all these guys are coming back, and we're going to talk to Money Harris in the 4 o'clock hour.
Coming up next, though, talking some NFL. I don't know if you've seen this, but Bijan Robinson went on Micah Parsons' podcast. Some really funny, interesting insight into our new starting quarterback, Michael Penix.
Stay there.